is the best way. The paragimel. Kashem Shishokin Adam Babonosa Bishas Misaso. The same way that Hashem judges, he weighs all of our merits and all of our averos when a person passes away. Kach b'kol shana b'shana, every year, shokun avonos kalecha nibaya olam, everything is weighed, and your mitzvahs are all weighed out on the yontif of Rosh Hashanah. Misha nimtzet tzaddik, someone who's found to be righteous, nechtam l'chaim, so he's sealed for life. Misha nimtzet rasha, nechtam l'misa. V'habeinani, tolenos v'yom ha-kippur, right? This middle person, the beinani, we wait until Yom Kippur, his fate hangs in the balance till Yom Kippur. Imasa tshuva nechtam l'chaim. If he does tshuva, so then he'll be sealed for life. So, famous question that all the mafarshim ask on the Rambam is why it's necessary to do tshuva during aser simei tshuva. Imasa tshuva nechtam l'chaim, lechora any mitzvah, right? This beinani is half-half. He has an extra couple of days until Yom Kippur to determine which side he's going to move towards. Why specifically tshuva? Lechora, as long as he does any mitzvah, he's tilted the scales in the proper direction. Why specifically tshuva? So some of them farshim say that in reality the cheshbon for tafshin pei gimel ends on Rosh Hashanah. There's no way you can't add mitzvos onto tafshin pei gimel and tafshin pei dalet. But if you do tshuva, you can remove averos. Right? Just as sort of like a technical answer, right? You can remove averos for the past year. Mitzvos are not going to help because they're already going for the next year's cheshbon. But if you do tshuva, so then you're sort of backdoor removing averos from the scales of last year. That's the way some people answer the question. But the Meshech Chachma and Rav Itzel Blazer, they explain in the following way. They say that the Gra has a famous idea, and then we say that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, you have to know din v'cheshben, right? Who are you ultimately going to give din v'cheshben in front of? And the Gra latches on to those two words, din. The cheshbon, right? It's going to be judgment, and cheshbon means some sort of an accounting. What's the din? What's the cheshbon? Why? What are these two separate things? So the Gra says that a din means a person is punished for the averas that he did. The cheshbon is what could you have done during the time you did the avera? There's a din, and then there's a cheshbon. You know, how better could you have used that time? Not only is it sure you use that time for an avera, but it was also a squandered opportunity for other growth-oriented activities. That's the cheshbon. So they suggest over here that during the Aser Simei Tshuva, when Hashem is opening up the doors of Tshuva and beckoning us to come back to Him, if a person fails to do Tshuva during this time, the cheshbon for that is so severe, so significant, any other mitzvah you do can't compensate for that. The cheshbon of the failure to do Tshuva is so weighty during these 10 days that any other mitzvah you do would be incapable of compensating. This idea of relating to the tekufa that we're going into now, we just started Slichos, and now we have 15 days until Yom Kippur, right? Trying to relate to these days, they're a tremendous opportunity, but that also imposes on us a tremendous responsibility to figure out how to use this time properly and how to do the right thing. Rav Yerucham speaks about the fact that develops this idea that tshuva, which we usually think about as a mitzvah, the mitzvah of tshuva, repentance, it's also a midah. He quotes psukim after Chet HaEgel, or after Chet HaEgel, it seems like the primary issue that Hashem had with Klal Yisrael was the midah of stubbornness that they had. They had a midah of stubbornness, unwillingness to change, unwillingness to hear tochacha, and he develops the idea that Gemara says in Pesachim, tshuva was one of the 10 things that were created before the world existed. What does tshuva mean in a world without mitzvahs and averos? Is tshuva is a midah. It's a midah. What's the midah of tshuva? What does that mean? So the midah of tshuva, pashtus, is a person, let's say, who's not doing well, who's failing in the midah of tshuva, is someone who is not receptive to change. He's not receptive to hearing other people criticize him. He's not receptive to hearing to what his shortcomings are, what his failings are, how we can improve them. His midah of tshuva is compromised, means that he's not willing to hear what other people have to say to him. I would say also a person who's lacking in the midah of tshuva, not only, you know, whenever someone else sort of comes up to us and wants to tell us something we're doing wrong, there's an immediate defense mechanism that goes up. But I would say that being introspective about where he's holding, and think about, you know, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? What could I be doing better? if the midah of tshuva is compromised, again, subconsciously, it's hard for you to identify and make peace with the fact that there are some things that you're doing that are suboptimal, shouldn't be behaving that way, should be looking at things differently, should be looking at the world differently. We have a very hard time believing that, hard time connecting with that. That's someone whose midah of tshuva is compromised. On the other hand, someone whose midah of tshuva is strong, or someone who's worked on the midah of tshuva. So, first of all, when he thinks about himself, he's able to identify things that he could be doing better. He's willing to admit that he's doing something wrong, but doing things in ways that could be improved and should be improved. And also, when someone, if someone were to come up to him and explain to him that, "I think you're making a mistake in this area," let's say it was done properly, it was said nicely, he's receptive to it. He wants to do better. He realizes that he's not perfect, and he's okay with that. He's looking to do tshuva, to become a bigger person, to become a better person. And anyone who can help him in that process, he's happy to hear that. He's happy to hear that there's someone who has a way that he thinks he can do better. He'll be receptive to that. So the first thing that a person needs to do, Rabbi Yerucham says, a person who fails to do tshuva during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, he suggests, the Rambam says, is nechta lemisa, because if a person's not doing tshuva during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that has to mean that his midah of tshuva is greatly compromised. And if that's true, how is he going to grow? How will he grow? Forget about the fact that during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you wasted this golden opportunity, but the fact that you did that must be a reflection of the fact that your midah of tshuva is in such a low place, you can't even get it together during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. What's that going to look like for the rest of the year? How is this person going to move forward? How is this person going to grow? The person is nechta mamisa, he suggests, because the midah of tshuva is in such a low place. And a person whose midah of tshuva is in such a low place has such low prospects, small prospects of being able to move forward. So I think the first thing that I think, going into this period, we need to try to do before we even get into, people talk about setting aside time, doing a cheshbon hanefesh, what am I up to, where am I holding, going through your day, going through the relationships that you have, going through all the different ways we try to mine our experiences for where we can improve. Before you even engage in that process, the first thing is to make sure that your midah of tshuva is in the right place. Am I really ready to change? Am I really ready to admit that I've been wrong, that I've been behaving the wrong way? I think that, that gets harder with the passage of time. The longer that a person is behaving in ways that are not appropriate, the harder it is to admit that you made a mistake. The more calcified we become in the way that we behave, the harder it is for us to admit that, wow, for the last year, 2, 5, 10, 15 years, I've been making a mistake. It's so much easier to retreat into this fantasy world where I'm not doing anything wrong. So before you even get into the cheshbon ha'nefesh, before you even try to think about things in a more serious way, the first thing is to make sure that you're really prepared to admit that there are mistakes, that there are problems, there are issues. I know the Rosh Yeshiva here, Rav Noach Weinberg Zatzal, many years ago when I was here, used to encourage people. I don't know if this is really nogea lemaisa, but he used to encourage people to choose their closest friend and to sit down and force one another to share where they feel like the other person could do better. I don't know. I don't know if people took a bomb on that. I don't know. But the idea that your closest friend knows you the best, and if it's coming from a place of real, genuine desire to change, the more likely it's true that first of all, you'll be receptive. You won't be turned off by the fact that he said whatever he said because you were asking for it. He used to encourage people to do that. But even if you're not going to do that, right, that if a person does that, certainly their midah of tshuva is in a pretty high place because they're ready to hear, they want to hear, whatever it may be. But certainly if you're doing your own self-analysis, if your midah of tshuva is not where it needs to be, the chances of success are greatly diminished. And we have all these blockages that pop up as soon as we hear someone criticize us or even search ourselves for mistakes we might be making. It's so hard for us to identify them because of these defense mechanisms. We want to prop ourselves up and not feel like we're making mistakes. And what if I don't fix it? What if I don't do better? So then I'm face to face with my shortcomings and I'm not fixing them. It's very uncomfortable for us. So we have all these safeguards that pop into place to try to protect us from identifying with the mistakes that we've been making. So sort of the prerequisite, I think, to any sort of genuine tshuva process, and I think this is something you can't escape, is working on this midah of tshuva. And I really feel like it's intricate and it's difficult because it's hard for us. We play these mind games with ourselves all the time, whereby when we have a havamina, maybe I'm doing something wrong, maybe I'm making a mistake, I shouldn't have done that. And right away there's a voice that sends it away. No, you're really okay. It makes sense based on this, based on that. And right away we're good again. And those thoughts are really not helpful because they prevent us from fixing the things that need to be fixed. So on the one hand, people talk about, so I want to sort of focus on for the next few minutes, another probably 10, 12 minutes. People shy away from working on Midos because it's so ill-defined and it's hard to figure out how to move forward in Midos. But the Midah of Tshuva, if you don't work on that, it doesn't even start. You can't get anywhere. That Midah for sure has to be in place. And I think sometimes because our Midah of Tshuva is not where it should be, we end up identifying things that are so insignificant. And the fact that I'm going to work on this thing doesn't really say anything about my character or who I am as a person. Because it's so small and insignificant that there it is. The fact that that's the best, that's the only thing you come up with is a reflection of the fact your Midah Tshuva is not in the right place. So yeah, I know I need to come up with something, but it'll be fairly minuscule and not something that's gonna make the biggest impact on my life, because to the extent that it's making a big impact on my life, that means that I've been doing it wrong until now. If it's a relatively small thing, so okay, so whatever, I wasn't doing this thing last year or for the last 5 years, whatever it is. Okay, anyway, it's not the biggest deal. So the first thing is to work on this Midah Tshuva and really, really identify with the fact that my life is about growth. That's what my life is about. I don't want to prop myself up in artificial ways. I don't want to maintain an inflated self-image that's unjustified. Who loses from that? I'm the only person who loses from that. No one else loses. The only person who loses from an inflated, unjustified, inflated self-image is me. That's the only person, because then I don't feel the need to move forward. I don't feel the need to grow, and so this Midah of Tshuva needs to be honed in order to take advantage of this of the, what the spiritual opportunities this time of year has to offer. And now, on a more specific level, right? The Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva, also a famous Rambam, the Rambam says, "Al Tomar," right? Don't say. Don't think that the only averos, the only tshuva is only relevant to averos that have a maaser, where there's a deed involved, like znus, gezel, gneiva. It's not true. That's not true. That's the only things where tshuva is relevant. Just like you need to do tshuva from these averos, you need to investigate the bad thought patterns that you have. Do tshuva from the bad thought patterns. Mina ka'as, anger, eiva, hatred, kina, jealousy, tacharus, competitive nature, mina hitul, redifas mammon, chasing after money, chasing after honor, redifas ha'macholos, chasing after all different types of pleasures of this world. You need to do tshuva from that. Mina kol tzarech lachzor b'tshuva. Ve'elu ha'avonos, these avonos, these chataim, anger, jealousy, hatred, kashim eyot and sheish v'maisa, they're harder than all the other averos that have a maisa. When a person is drowning in these things, it's very hard to separate yourself. It quotes a pasuk to support this. But this idea that tshuva is appropriate, again, first the midah of tshuva needs to be in place, and now when I'm using the midah of tshuva, what am I going to identify? So don't, the Rambam is saying tshuva is appropriate and called for, not only with regard to specific maisim that you did wrong, an aveira, you stole, whatever, you didn't bench, you didn't put on tefillin, whatever. It's also relevant with regard to all the bad ways, all the negative thought patterns we have about the world, and all the bad midos that we have. You need to do tshuva from all of that. The Bali Musar all ask, and even not only the Bali Musar, the people in the Rambam all ask, where did the Rambam get this from? Where does it say this? How does the Rambam know this? And the Rambam, they all say it's pashut. Hare, the purpose of the entire Torah, the purpose of all the mitzvahs and all the averos, is to hone our midos. That's the reason we do everything that we do. How could it be that you would do tshuva just from individual averos and mitzvos and not fix the primary goal of all the mitzvos and averos themselves? How could that possibly be? All right, the midos are where all the action is. That's pashut. It's pashut. Elamai, people tend to shy away from these things. People, right, we talk about benching from a bencher, like that's the classic example. I'm not going to take away from that. But people tend to shy away from working on midos because they're so ill-defined. What does that mean to work on a midah? How are you going to do that? What does that look like? What do I do? Benching from a bencher, I get it. Get the bencher, sit down and bench, give yourself a check, move on. Right? Working on a midah is a very hard thing to think about. How would I go about doing that? What does that even mean? And so people tend to move away from that and think it's just too overwhelming to think about, even though they know they have somewhat of an anger issue, somewhat of a jealousy issue, somewhat of an insensitivity to other people issue, whatever the bad midah may be. people tend to shy away from it. I think primarily for that reason, no way to define how to work on it, and no way to assess. I mean, sort of the same thing. No way to assess how you're moving forward. I'm moving forward. Where am I going? So I just wanted to suggest two things. First of all, I understand the reluctance to engage in some sort of amida as the way you're going to relate to Tavshin Pei Daled and the years coming forward. But I would say that two things. First of all, the Bali Musar compare the midos to a tree, and all the mitzvos to the fruits on the tree. If you can better amida, automatically you're going to do better in so many different areas of Avodas Hashem. Both Bein Adam Lakom, certainly Bein Adam Lachaveiro. If you can work on anger, you can work on arrogance, you're going to be so much better in so many mitzvos, Bein Adam Lachaveiro. Whereas if you zoom in on one mitzvah, you're really limiting yourself. So it might be the case that working on Amida is more daunting because it's harder to define and it's harder to know whether you're succeeding. But it's also true that the payoff is immensely greater because if Amida is improved, it'll manifest itself in myriad ways in your Avodas Hashem. That's one nekuda. The second reason why I think it behooves us to consider working on Amida, and this is for a more selfish reason, is when a person's midos improve, they're so much happier. If you bench from a bencher, it's great. I don't think you're going to be that much happier as a result of that. I don't think so. Right? When a person's midos improve, they're much better equipped to deal with life, deal with the ups and downs of life, deal with the regular sort of Bein Adam Lachaveiro perturbances that we all deal with on a weekly basis. A person whose midos are in a better place is a happier person. You're just going to be a happier person. So it might be true that working on a mida is harder, but first of all, in your Bein Adam Lamakom, in your growing as a person, the payoff is immensely greater. And even just on a selfish level, in terms of just wanting to be a happier person, which is pretty much what we all want, when a person's midos are better, they're much happier people. They're much better equipped to deal with the regular things that everybody has to struggle with on a daily basis that knock people down, make them sad, get them depressed. When a person's midos is in the right place, they're insulated against a lot of those things. Okay, but how do you go about doing it? What does that mean? What does that look like? So again, I think that the first step is to try to figure out what mida you think would best be the best thing for you to work on. There are lists of midos. The Orchos Tzaddikim has 28 chapters. Pretty much all of them are midos. Not all, but most of them are midos. Or Stam in the different Sifrei Musar, Aleshor, Rav Chaim Friedlander, they have midos. You can look through them. Look through them. Figure out a mida to work on. In terms of how to do it, so I would suggest the following things. Again, if anybody who want to speak about this more personally, we can try in the coming weeks. I'm not an expert myself. I've just read some of these svarim, as some of you know, whatever. I don't really have a Masorah on this. But one of the ways to work on this, which I think is easy, relatively easy, is to attach your avoda on the mida to a mitzvah that you're doing anyway. For example, someone wants to work on a Karas HaTov, so to really, again, exactly how you would do this, whatever, once a day, once a week, whatever, when you're saying a bracha, like to really stop for a second and think about Karas HaTov to Hashem, whatever that item may be. I'm working on Karas HaTov. Usually I'm just saying brachas all week, but I don't really think about it, whatever. I'm going to stop before a bracha once a day, let's say, and try to think about Karas HaTov, like where this comes from, and not taking things for granted. And appreciating that the bracha is supposed to be a manifestation of, an expression of Hakaras HaTov, and connecting to that idea. Or someone who wants to work on generosity. So I'm giving tzedakah every day anyway, let's say, when they come around, whatever, in shul, whatever. So I'm not just going to give the tzedakah as a matter of rote. I'm going to think about the fact I want to be a more generous person. I want to be able to think about other people more. I want to try to, dig deep and try to help other people. I'm giving the tzedakah anyway. I just do it as a matter of religious obligation. I just put the money in the thing, but I'm going to try to connect to that, to the mida of giving tzedakah. The mida that giving tzedakah is trying to enhance, I'm going to try to connect to that. Or stam, in terms of, let's say, someone wants to be focused on other people in general. They feel like they're too self-centered, they're too thinking about themselves all the time, can't get out of their own heads, they're so fixated on themselves and their own needs. A person who would decide, once a week, let's say, I'm just giving examples, obviously, but I'm saying this is a way of working on midos. Once a week, I'm going to make it my business to think of somebody in my space, a relative, a friend, someone I know from yeshiva from the past who's gone going through a hard time, has gone through a hard time, could use a phone call, see how he's doing, even if he's not going through a hard time. Just say hello. I was thinking about him, wanted to see how he's doing. You know, that is a midah of chesed. It's a midah of focusing on other people. It's not, don't limit it. Well, I'm gonna make a phone call once a week. I'm working on the midah of chesed. It's so much broader, and so much more enlightening, and has the capacity to really change you as a person. Trying to connect whatever avodas hamidos you want to do to a mitzvah that you're doing anyway, and just infuse more meaning into that mitzvah, and try to connect to what the mitzvah is trying to do anyway. Just we do the mitzvah without thinking. Chaval, the mitzvah has a lot more power that we're not connecting to. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it, in a way that's, I think, not so overwhelming, because now Yom Kippur is in 15 days. What am I supposed to do? What does the Kabbalah look like? The other way to do it, I think, is like a Kabbalah of, you know, Yerushalayim Salanter would talk about a Kabbalah of learning Musar, because once you're learning Musar, so you'll fix yourself in a lot of other ways. It's like a trick. So here also, like the idea that I'm going to make it my business this year to go through the Alei Shur on arrogance, or go through Rav Chaim Friedlander on jealousy. I'm going to learn that. I'm going to learn Musar that's very midos focused. I'm going to make it my business 5 minutes, 10 minutes. 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes a week, 10 minutes every 2 weeks, whatever the number would be, but I'm gonna be learning things that are midos focused this year, and that's my Kabbalah. Exactly how I'm gonna churn that learning lemaisa, I'll figure that out. I'll figure that out as the year goes on. Anyway, I don't even know how to do that yet because I've never done this before. But my Kabbalah is I'm gonna learn things that relate to midos with the intention of bettering myself. That's my Kabbalah. But something along these lines that has the capacity to be much more transformative than a small tweak of something that you're doing, a small tweak of a mitzvah that you're doing, I think is something that is worthy of considering. Again, I'm not nothing against benching from a bencher, Sunta, no problem. Famous story from Rav Shach, no problem. But in terms of like trying to really think of things that could be, unfortunately, once Yom Kippur passes, most of us do not think about this till next Elul. It's a leap year this year. It's an extra month of not thinking about this, right? It's not geschmack. Years pass. Years really pass. And like, you're getting older, right? You guys don't feel this yet. I feel it. You're getting older. Like, if all of my things were benching from a bencher, like, when do I really change myself? When is that supposed to happen? You know, so you guys can be way ahead of me and start that process at a much younger age by trying to think about things that have the capacity to really transform you, and really change you as a person. And you can see these changes, a small increase in your generosity, a small increase in your hakaras hatov, a small decrease in your arrogance, in your jealousy, will bear so many fruits. So many fruits. When you're jealous of other people, you can't talk to them normally. You don't want to interact with them. You can't give them a smile. If you're less jealous, you're good. And it's, they'll never know. The person will never know. But all of a sudden, so many of the interactions will be so much better because you're less jealous than you used to be. It's a very powerful thing to think about, the fact that the midos are the tree and everything else are the fruits. Chaval not to fix the tree. Why would you focus on the fruit if you could fix the tree itself? That's the idea.